cards were actual portraits of real park rangers I came to know and love during my intense and extraordinary career, the square-jawed outdoorsman would be Chris Fors, a hardy New Englander who used his sturdy expression to hide the fear and disillusionment he faced while working at the Grand Canyon. The freckle-faced young woman hiking through the trees would resemble Mary Littell, a rock climber determined to break the glass ceiling at Yosemite Valley. And the friendly ranger with a kind wave and goofy smile? That would be Cale Schaffer, a short guy with a big dream, to become a mountaineering ranger on Denali, North America's tallest mountain. I cherish the memories I have of working alongside park rangers like Chris, Mary, and Cale. For better and worse, our time with the National Park Service, NPS, changed us in ways we could never have anticipated. In the beginning, we were four passionately dedicated rangers, willing to risk our lives to protect the national park ideal. But age wreaked havoc on our idealism. A little courage bled from each tragic experience, and hope seemed elusive when so many lives were lost. In the end, I watched someone toss a beloved ranger's ashes into the Grand Canyon. Rangers rarely share their experiences with those outside the clannish NPS. Chief rangers and park superintendents have politically fragile careers. NPS public information officers are reticent about the darker sides of the park experience. Concessionaires, multi-million dollar companies that run the hotels, restaurants, and gift shops inside national parks, think bad news equals bad business. Park rangers, including those at the highest ranks, have been disciplined, frivolously indicted, and even fired because they told the truth about living, working, and dying in a national park. This is a work of nonfiction. The park rangers are real people. The stories are true. Quoted dialogue and statements are taken directly from government documents, dispatch recordings, other media sources, journals, letters, and the recollections of myself or the people I interviewed. In one chapter only, Pine Pigs, I portray minor events as if they occurred in one day. In a few instances, I combine several conversations into one for the sake of narrative efficiency. I occasionally use my imagination when dramatizing the actions, thoughts, and motivations of the park ranger who dies by this story's end. With the exception of a few high-profile incidences, I omit the names of the deceased to allow them and their families some privacy. Reader, beware. Ranger reality is rated R. Nature doesn't always play nice. Public servants curse from time to time. Search and rescue can involve wet work. Cliffhangers don't always have happy endings. The service thus established shall promote and regulate the use of the federal areas known as national parks, which purpose is to conserve the scenery and the natural and historic objects and the wildlife therein, and to provide for the enjoyment of the same in such manner and by such means as will leave them unimpaired for the enjoyment of future generations. The National Park Service Organic Act, 1916. Well, the only thing I can say is, Yosemite is one goddamn beautiful place to get locked up. Man arrested for driving while intoxicated in a national park, 1993. 1. This is your brain on the Grand Canyon. Nude from the waist down, the woman arched her back off the gurney and kicked a padded ankle restraint across the room. Obviously, the Valium wasn't working. The doctor yelled for something stronger. A male park ranger fought with the woman's kicking legs while I leaned all my weight on her upper torso so a nurse could inject the drug into the catheter I'd put in her arm. With all her